So, einen wunderschönen guten Tag, meine Damen und Herren. Willkommen zur Pressekonferenz mit dem Titel auf Englisch How Germany's Funding for Radical NGOs Damage Israeli-Palestinian Peace Efforts and Strengthen Hamas mit Professor Gerald Steinberg aus Israel. Mein Name ist Michael Spahner, ich bin vom Middle East Freedom Forum Berlin. Herzlich willkommen zu der Pressekonferenz des Koordinierungsrats deutscher Nichtregierungsorganisationen gegen Antisemitismus und des Middle East Freedom Forum Berlins. Ich darf besonders recht herzlich unseren Gast aus Israel begrüßen, Professor Gerald Steinberg, Politikwissenschaftler an der Bar-Ilan-Universität in Israel und Direktor der Organisation NGO Monitor in Israel. NGO Monitor hatte sich zur Aufgabe gemacht, problematische Nichtregierungsorganisationen in Israel und den palästinensischen Gebieten und deren internationale Geldgeber zu untersuchen, die in diesem Bericht, der hier ausliegt, über deutsches Funding aufgezeigten Beispiele sprechen für sich, und Professor Steinberg wird in seinen Ausführungen diese detailliert Ihnen erläutern. Besonders erschreckend ist die Tatsache, dass deutsche Stiftungen in Israel und den Gebieten NGOs unterstützen, die eine klare antizionistische, ja bisweilen antisemitische Agenda haben und die Souveränität des jüdischen Staates gezielt untergraben und auch den Friedensprozess und eine Zwei-Staaten-Lösung. Gerade im Hinblick auf die deutschen parteinahen Stiftungen ist dies besonders eklatant. Bekennt man sich doch fast durchweg zu einer Zwei-Staaten-Lösung, finanziert aber gleichzeitig Gruppen, die diese Versuche unterminieren. Dabei ist vor allem problematisch, dass bis heute diese Finanzierung alles andere als transparent ist. Die Stiftungen erteilen keine Auskünfte, welche NGOs sie in welcher Höhe unterstützen. Vor dem Hintergrund, dass es sich dabei um Steuergelder handelt, fordern wir die Parteistiftung in Deutschland auf, endlich öffentlich und transparent die Verwendung dieser Gelder nachzuweisen. Auf unsere schriftliche Anfrage zu den Vorwürfen Professor Steinbergs an die deutschen Parteistiftungen hat das Middle East Freedom Forum bislang keine Antwort erhalten. Das Middle East Freedom Forum fordert daher eine Offenlegung der bisherigen Empfänger und eine Überarbeitung der Vergabekriterien. Organisationen, die Israels Existenz als souveräner jüdischer Staat und eine Zwei-Staaten-Lösung in Frage stellen, dürfen keine deutschen Steuergelder erhalten. Bevor nun Professor Steinberg zu Ihnen auf Englisch spricht, wird Klaus Faber vom Koordinierungsrat noch einige Worte auf Deutsch an Sie richten.
Ja, wie auch sonst ich die Worte an Sie auf Deutsch richten werde, falls wir nach einer Diskussion dazu kommen werden. Mein Name ist Klaus Faber, vielen Dank für die Vorstellung. Ich bin Mitglied des Vorstands des Koordinierungsrats deutscher Nichtregierungsorganisationen gegen Antisemitismus, eine Organisation mit 23 Mitgliedern, Organisationen. Wir haben unter unserem Organisationsdach Angehörige verschiedener Glaubensrichtungen, Christen, Juden, Muslime, Aleviten und Bahai, sowie Menschen mit anderer Orientierung oder ohne religiöse Orientierung. Wir haben uns von Anfang an gegen alle Formen des Antisemitismus gewandt, insbesondere gegen den israelfeindlichen Antisemitismus. Und wir fordern jetzt unter dem Eindruck einer wachsenden Zunahme global von antisemitischen Bewegungen auch einen neuen Bericht, der letzte war von 2012, der Bundesregierung zur Antisemitismusbekämpfung, eben auch zu dem Zusammenhang von nahöstlichen und europäischen Umfeldfaktoren, die hier eine Rolle spielen, und auch mit kritischer Betrachtung dessen, was erreicht und was nicht erreicht wurde, und verbunden mit Vorschlägen für die nationale Ebene und für die EU-Ebene. Wir sind der Auffassung, dass deutsche NGOs dem Frieden verpflichtet sein sollten, ohne entschiedenen Kampf gegen den Antisemitismus, auch gegen den Antisemitismus in der palästinensischen Bevölkerung, wird es keinen belastbaren Frieden geben können, einen Frieden zwischen den Palästinensern und Israel geben können. Die deutschen NGOs sollten den in der palästinensischen Bevölkerung weit verbreiteten Antisemitismus bekämpfen, weil er ein Friedenshindernis ist und nicht etwa diesen Förder direkt oder indirekt, wie das ja geschildert wird. Es gibt dazu alarmierende aktuelle Zahlen, 55% der Bevölkerung in der Westbank und 68% der Bevölkerung im Gazastreifen, das ist eine Umfrage vom Juni, also vom letzten Monat, sprechen sich gegen die Existenz Israels aus. Das sollte ein Alarmzeichen sein, eine Reaktion. Mehr Transparenz und mehr Kontrolle, auch öffentliche Kontrolle, öffentlich sichtbare Kontrolle gegenüber radikalen NGOs, die ja auch teilweise jedenfalls mit deutschen Steuergeldern bezahlt werden, ist vor diesem Hintergrund notwendig. Wir sind sehr gespannt auf Ihren Vortrag, Herr Professor Steinberg.
Professor Steinberg wird dazu in Reden, er ist in allen internationalen Medien präsent, gibt Interviews und Artikel von Associated Press, Reuters, New York Times, alle israelischen Medien, aber auch weltweit. Please, Mr. Steinberg, we are very happy to have you here and we are eager to listen to your findings in this report about German funding.
Thank you to the host, Mr. Farber, Mr. Spaney, for the two organizations. Is it possible to lower the, so we have a little more, we'll see the PowerPoint a little more clearly? If that works, yes, that would be. We'll pretend we're still in winter here and make it a little bit darker. I also do apologize, my German, you don't want to have to hear me struggling through German, and I won't be able to say what I need to say in German. It's hard for me. Where does the mouse reach? Maybe I can do it from here, that'll be a little bit easier. If you can do that, then I can just clip through easier, and if not, then I'll go back. Are we okay here? Yeah, I think we are. Okay, let's see what happens if I do this. No, I can't flip it from here, though. I can't switch. Oh, you're doing it for me anyway, so we'll give you back your mouse. Okay. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I do have an American accent, but I've taught in Israel at Bar-Ilan University International Relations for 32 years. I was born up in California. I was born in London, England, because my parents were both from the Kindertransport. My father was born in Berlin, not far from here, my mother from Halle an der Saale, and that's part of my background. It comes with the history, the background I've been living in, and as an Israeli, for over 30 years, and teaching international politics. For the last 10 or 12 years, and I'll tell you why in a minute, I have focused on what's called soft power, and particularly the role of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that have an agenda or claim to have an agenda promoting human rights and humanitarian assistance. And the two usually work together, and we'll even use some examples here of organizations, Catholic and Protestant organizations, but Die Welt, EED, others, that are humanitarian, but in fact claim and often have an agenda which uses human rights and international law. And I founded, because of the reasons I'll explain, an organization, NGO Monitor. It's the only one like it in the world. I still don't understand why. It seems to me that every country that spends sometimes hundreds of millions of euros and dollars and krona and pounds for humanitarian and other non-governmental organizations should have some checks and balances on these groups. Our organization in Jerusalem has about 20 researchers in it. We have a database, and you can all look at our website, of about 150 political NGOs. We don't focus on environmental NGOs. It's something that could be done, but that's not something that's within our mandate. We focus on about 150 NGOs that are active in our part of the world on the Arab-Israeli conflict. And our goal is to provide and support transparency. Where is the money going? What are the issues that they're looking at? Accountability. Are they in fact doing what they claim to be doing? Do they know where their money goes? And public debate. Are they doing good things, or are they actually against human rights? Are they against the peace process, even though they use the terms? So those are the basis for this presentation. I've done presentations on a lot of the work, because most of the money for these organizations comes from European taxpayers, or in some cases, European donors to church groups and elsewhere. So I've made presentations like this in Spain, in the Spanish Parliament, in Brussels, in the European Parliament, London, before the Belgian government and elsewhere, Ireland, and also the United States. So this is my first presentation like this in Germany, And I thank you for coming in. Feel free to ask me questions. It's a press conference, so I'll try not to make it a dialogue at any point. Just stop and ask me. Don't be too polite. You can be like Israelis and interrupt me in the middle. So let me now tell you a little bit about the background, my own background. If you go to the next slide, I discovered this area. You can't quite see it there, but the headline is the 2001 NGO Forum of the Durban Conference. The Durban Conference was sponsored under the auspices of the European Union and the United Nations Human Rights Commission to mark the end of apartheid. But what it really did, and it was in Durban, South Africa, it brought 1,500 delegates, 5,000 people marching. But what it really was focused on was attacking Israel. It wasn't so much the end of apartheid, it was called the World Conference on the Elimination of Discrimination and Racism and Other Forms of Xenophobia. But Yasser Arafat was one of the main speakers, and the focus, they gave out the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and other anti-Semitic literature. Jews and Israelis who did not denounce Israel were not allowed to speak. And this is the next slide will show you the declaration that they opened. This is 1,500 organizations. Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch. Many of the organizations which are considered to be the leaders of a moral agenda in human rights, this is their agenda. By the way, if you push F5, it'll be a little bit clearer on that. Go back. Can you go back one, though, but push F5? Push the
F5.
F5? No. Okay. In my computer, it works. Uh-oh. Now am I in trouble if I wreck this? Can you try F5 again? See if it goes back? Yes, we're back. Good. Okay. This is the final declaration. This is a part of it. And again, everything that I do, everything that I say can be found on the internet. It's on our website. You can go to the immediate source, that we don't make anything up. It's all sourced carefully. The word apartheid, Israel is a racist, apartheid, war crimes, crimes against humanity. Oops, we lost it. Don't forget it, it was fine. I shouldn't have said anything. Are we back? Crimes against humanity, genocide, ethnic cleansing. This is the language that was used. This was a declaration of political warfare, of soft power war, by NGOs under human rights and humanitarian banners for attacking Israel. This was in September 2001. And that's the beginning of the work that I have done on the role of soft power and NGOs in the Arab-Israeli conflict. This is not about Palestinian terrorism. There's no mention of the history and the complex history of the conflict. It's only about attacking Israel. The language was actually written in Tehran. The United Nations had what's called a preparatory conference, PrepCom, that took place in Tehran. The commissioner of human rights at the time, Mary Robinson, said to us, well, the Iranian government promised that they would give visas to Israelis and to Jews, and of course nobody was allowed in. And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the war. Since then, if you go to the next slide, thank you. This has become a huge industry. There are 1,500 organizations that were there. Many of them have continued to be very active in this process. And the amount of money that goes into this is extremely large. It says up there 50 million euros a year annually from European governments to about 80 very active Israeli and Palestinian groups. I'll talk about Germany. We're in Berlin. But in fact, you find very similar problems in each of the Western European countries. And first of all, before we say problems, budgets and funding for these purposes. And that continues to go across the board. So it's 5 or 6 million from Spain and 5 million from France and maybe 10 million from Sweden and Norway. And Germany is also in there in the realm of between 5 and 10 million, depending on. And we also, there's an issue of transparency. It's hard to know. In fact, I think we now will estimate it's more than 50 million total. And they go to almost the same organizations doing almost the same things. The Durban agenda that I showed you earlier. If we can go to the next picture, the process, I'm sorry that it's not as clear as we'd hoped it would be, but the process is that it goes, maybe we can still lower these even all the way to the bottom, will that help? That we'll get a little more visibility from those?
Is
My team worked hard on putting these together. I want to make as much use of it as we can. Okay, that'll help. Very good, okay. That's very good. Michael, that's terrific. Okay. Now we can see the slides. There's a process here, and what I'm doing for the next couple of minutes is giving you the general overview before I talk about the German element in this. Since the Durban Conference of 2001, we've had many, many cases of Israel being attacked and responding, and then being condemned by the United Nations Human Rights Council, which is dominated primarily by the Organization of the Islamic States. It's the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, 55 countries, almost all of whom have focused in the human rights realm, because up until 2 years ago, they would never talk about Syria. It would be Libya that would have the chair. Iran would take the floor. I was there in March and heard the Syrian and Iranian delegates condemning Israel for war crimes. And it was absolutely absurd, but they didn't blink at all. This was none of the people, none of the diplomats blinked. The NGOs in these different venues will attack Israel. We have the case of the Lebanon war. Two Israelis were kidnapped, their bodies were kidnapped and held. There was a lot of fighting. Israel then responded, and Israel was condemned for war crimes. It actually started earlier in Jenin, the Jenin massacre myth, the bus bombings, the cafeteria bombings. Hundreds of Israelis were killed. The Israeli military went into the Jenin refugee camp where they were sending out the suicide bombers, and Israel was condemned for committing a massacre. It was a complete myth. But Amnesty International was the first non-Palestinian group to say, yes, there's a massacre, which there was. They had no idea what they were talking about. And other examples. The Goldstone Report of 2009. Are you familiar with the Goldstone Report? 500 pages in the United Nations Human Rights Council with Judge Richard Goldstone, a Jewish judge with connections with Israel, said Israel had committed numerous war crimes and needed to be investigated and taken to the International Criminal Court. A number of us went to speak to Judge Goldstone and showed him how every page on that report, which quoted from those same NGOs, had no basis in fact. They don't know what happened, or in some cases we know that the claims were false. They didn't do an investigation. They simply took 500 quotations from NGOs and put them into a book. They could not have done an investigation of 36 incidents in a period of 4 or 5 months with a small staff, because in a combat situation as exists in a place like Gaza, there's no way you can investigate and understand what happened by just doing a few hearings and talking to a few people who said that they're eyewitnesses. You have to do a lot more, and there are so many contradictions in that report. And Richard Goldstone, to his credit, did renounce his own report after he was upset that we were criticizing him, and he at least listened to the criticism and admitted his report was not based. He said, if I had known then what I know now, we would never have written this report. And he has not spoken on Israeli-Palestinian issues since then. He's been condemned by all the other members of this network for being a traitor. The reports from the NGOs like these go to the media. Journalists give them headlines because they're written by these responsible organizations like Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International and many others. And then, or Israeli groups or Palestinian groups, Israeli groups as B'Tselem are breaking the silence, comes to Berlin, does a photo exhibit in September of 2012 at the Willy Brandt House, and everybody thinks that this organization actually is an accurate and moral framework, which both of which I would say are not deserved. And then, so they get quoted by diplomats, and then the diplomats then say, well, we have this evidence of Israel doing all these terrible things, and therefore we're going to condemn. The European Union will issue a condemnation. Even friends of Israel will get this, the propaganda that comes through is the term that I would use. We had an example recently of this process when the president of the European Parliament, Mr. Schulz, came to Jerusalem and spoke in the Knesset and talked about it. He said he had heard that Israel was depriving the Palestinians of water. Well, there was a big campaign by all these NGOs, and it got to, he had heard it, he didn't know anything about the details, but he saw the campaign and he raised the question. But the way the question was raised was already a form of political warfare. Because, of course, it was all done as a means of attacking Israel through this process. And then my academic colleagues will quote these things as if they were facts. So there's a real problem here. And so that's the general issues that are behind the work that we're doing. Are they accurate? When they say that there are war crimes committed, do they have any legal understanding or basis for those claims? And in almost every instance that we've looked at, the answer is no. A huge industry that is acting in a highly irresponsible manner. The German aspect of this, we've tracked about in the report that we issued, and this is the report you have. We haven't had time to translate it to German. This is the second draft that we did. We wrote to all of the organizations that we examined in this. We examined the main political Stiftungen, Rosa Luxemburg, Heinrich Bell, the Adenauer Foundation, the Eberhard Foundation, then we looked at the what we call the independent NGOs that are funded directly by the federal government, Medico International, and I'll give you specifics of that in a minute, Medico International, and then we looked at the church-based NGOs funded by the federal government. We're interested primarily in where the government, German government, European government money goes to support political campaigns under the headline of human rights or humanitarian assistance. That's our main focus. There are many other issues that could be looked at, but that is the purpose for which NGO Monitor was founded. And then we look at it within the framework of the Durban Declaration and the political campaigns and the peace process. So we looked at also the German, every Western European government has a church-based humanitarian aid organization which receives large sums. For instance, Brit für die Welt has a budget over 120 million euros a year, most of which is public funding. 99% comes from the Federal Ministry of Economic Development, BMZ. That's a lot of money. And it goes to many different areas. And what's interesting is we find that almost we've never seen it, and we've looked, in any European country. Brit für die Welt and EED are the Protestant aid organizations funded by the federal government. Help me out here. The Catholic
Miserere.
Is the Catholic, and what's interesting, Protestants and Catholics are united, and we'll talk about this in a minute. They're holding a pseudo-academic conference on July 7th to attack Israel using a very, very distorted version of the International Court of Justice advisory decision 10 years ago. Catholic, Protestant, German federal government, almost all the speakers are radical in their position, including one who was connected to the Palestinian Front for the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a terrorist organization, is the main speaker. I'll talk about this in a minute. So we looked at these organizations and what they're doing specifically in our area, and the information, which is not complete, this is the problem of transparency. We count 4 million euros, about 1 million euros a year, from these organizations. Many of the funds, and I'll give you the specifics, are used opposing the peace process and promoting Palestinian narratives, the most extreme Palestinian narratives, that what we call the 1948 narratives, not about let's reach an agreement on two states, let's talk about the boundaries based on the pre-67 lines, but much more Israel was created in sin. Israel caused the millions of Palestinian refugees to have to flee their homes. That's injustice, and therefore we promote the right of return of Palestinian refugees. That's wiping Israel off the map. That's the same, having the same impact. That's soft power version of the 1948 Arab invasion, the 1973 war, the 67 preparations for war, which was push the Jews into the sea. It's a different set of language. It's used soft power tools, but it is still has the same political goals, and that was as we started off at the Durban conference. It takes Israel completely out of any context, strictly double standards. In the last week, we've heard the word, many of you may have heard the term collective punishment being used. Have you heard that term in the media in Germany?
Now,
I've looked, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, some Israeli groups, and I've looked where they use collective punishment in other situations. You know, there was a terrible terror attack in Boston at the Marathon. There was a bombing that took place. Do you remember the Boston Marathon bombing a year ago? And the Boston police imposed a lockdown on the neighborhoods of Boston where they thought the terrorists were hiding. Nobody ever uses collective punishment in that case. In all of the conflicts that exist, blockades that are used. Cuba, the term collective punishment is not used. You can agree or disagree with the policy, but when you use the term collective punishment, it has this moral condemnation in it, and it's double standards. It's applied only to Israel, and it's applied in a... And they use international legal language, but without at all the substance of it. And that's one of the big problems that consistently here. So we're looking now at the specifics. Where does this money go? A significant amount of the organizations that are funded by these groups that I've just mentioned give their money to support boycott of Israel. It's called the BDS movement. Boycott Israeli products. Divest. We had the Presbyterian Church just now in the United States vote for divestment. Sell your big funds, pension funds and endowment funds. Don't hold any stocks that have any dealings with Israel. So they voted to sell stock. I think it'll cost them some money in Hewlett Packard and what were, there were three, Caterpillar, I forget, and Motorola, because they work with Israel and they've some of their technology is used on the separation barrier, or the, what they call the apartheid wall. And the language was very theologically anti-Semitic. We've written a very detailed report on that in support of the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestments, and Sanctions movement. The goal of BDS is not about a two-state solution. The leaders of it say very clearly what their goals are. The end of the Jewish state. Ending the occupation doesn't mean anything if it doesn't mean upending or ending the Jewish state itself. One of the leading BDS activists, and we have a dozen of these. I took out most of the quotes. We don't have all data to go through that, but there are many quotes like that. Okay, the justice and freedom for the Palestinians are incompatible with the existence of the state of Israel. So these are wiping Israel off the map positions. And we have at least 10 different examples of German government taxpayer funding going towards support organizations that have this agenda. Can we have the next slide, please? Here's one example. Over the period of the last 4 years, three German frameworks, we call the funding, the Bret für die Welt, is a secondary. It's not, all of these are secondary, indirect funding. This is not that the federal government says we're going to give money to an organization called Coalition of Women for Peace and their Who Profits framework. We give it to Bret für die Welt, the ED, and they give it to this radical BDS organization. Medico International is supposed to provide medical assistance around the world. Why is it giving 20 million euros, 20,000 euros? I'm not saying that's a huge amount of money, but 20,000 euros is enough to do some damage along with everything else. Why are they putting their names on anything by an organization that promotes this political war against Israel? Rosa Luxemburg, it's the Linke, but it's German taxpayer money. Why are they giving this money to an organization that leads the BDS movement, that every week will give you a list of which Israeli companies you should boycott in your supermarkets, or in your government contracts, or in your private purchases? And they have a lot of money. This is a small part of their total budget. But they have enough money to project their agenda, and they operate primarily in Europe. They also participate, the two pictures are from their Facebook page. This is called the Coalition of Women for Peace. It's a very radical group of a small number of women who promote the isolation, the complete international isolation of Israel as an apartheid state, through these methods. Taking the methods that were used for South Africa, it's exploiting the experience of apartheid and applying it to the Arab-Israeli conflict. And that you can hear the term apartheid used over and over again. This is one of the main organizations doing this. And the questions that we raise, which are for Germans to decide, but for us to certainly, as Israelis and as academics and as research institute, to raise the question, why? What is the possible justification? Is this something that the German public is aware of? Another example. This is also the Coalition of Women for Peace. You can see this is some of their brochures. They are now, this is one of their latest campaigns. they are telling companies and governments that are exporting to Israel components that are used in crowd control weapons to prevent violent demonstrations from attacking and leading to a violent response. So there, this is part of the BDS movement. And Medico International, a German-based, again, medical organization, medical assistance organization, funded by the Development Ministry, the Federal Development Ministry, is sponsoring this campaign. All of this is in the details are in our publication. The Palestinian narrative talks about right of return. One state from the river, from the sea to the Jordan River. There's an Israeli organization that gives this visibility and legitimacy. Because if there's an Israeli, a Jew, that supports it must be legitimate. It can't be anti-Semitic. It's a symbolic but very powerful part of this political warfare. Let's find a Jew, let's find an Israeli, give them a lot of money, three or four people, and they can travel around the world and send to reporters and journalists the narrative, the Palestinian distortion of events, the anti-Israeli Israeli. Now this organization, Zohrot, has founded 10 years ago and was basically ignored. And then they got a lot of money. And then they produced an app, the I Nakba app. And if you look at the newspapers, in the middle of May is the 15th of May was the declaration of Israel and the beginning of the Arab invasion, and then what the Palestinians call Nakba, their catastrophe. Not that there was a war, but everything there is the Jews came, mostly it's the Europeans because of the Holocaust guilt, put the Jews into Palestine. And that led to the Nakba and the dispersal of the Palestinians. There were actually at the time about 700,000 or 800,000 Palestinian refugees. There were about the same number of Jewish refugees from Arab countries. But this issue of right of return of refugees, now it's third generation, they claim 5 million people. That's one of the main reasons there's no peace agreement. Israel cannot accept the concept of right of return. It can't, because then there's no Israel, there's no Jewish state in any boundaries. Why are the Rosenbaum, the same again, this time it's the Catholics, not the Protestants, not well, Rosa Luxemburg, Medico International, and German money going through a Catholic relief organization, funding this extremely radical anti-peace agenda. You can, again, stop me if anybody wants to raise any points in this discussion. It's supposed to be a back and forth. Make sure I finish this time for questions and response. Again, I picked some examples out that I think are particularly visible and important. There are many, many more in the research. This is an event that hasn't happened yet. It's coming up on July 7th. I forgot to put it in Berlin. This is a conference that's being advertised, sponsored by, this is a very good example of ecumenical cooperation. Catholics and Protestants together attacking Israel. Under the framework of the 10th anniversary of the International Criminal Court, no, sorry, the International Court of Justice, the ICJ, advisory decision on the Israeli separation barrier. Now, the main speakers in this is not, it's supposed to be an academic conference, there's not one speaker on the program that's going to say, at least from the people that we know on the program, that this decision is not taken seriously by anybody because it's not really a court process. The International Court of Justice in The Hague is composed of mainly people who have political backgrounds. You had an Egyptian and Malaysian diplomat, they were part of the judges on this. And their decision, there was a minority decision which basically said this was entirely a non-judicial process. They didn't look at all at barriers like this in other situations. And they didn't look at all at the background of the terrorism. And there was a whole UN process before. The UN General Assembly wrote a very biased set of questions which they put in the indictment to the Court of Justice. In other words, this whole process is very controversial. But that controversy is not at all represented or reflected in this event that's going to take place in Germany. This is one straight political position, which is here, that the immoral, it says that Israel must, how does the world going to impose on Israel this distorted version of an advisory opinion by a court which is not a real international legal body? And who are the main speakers? Shawan Jabarin. Shawan Jabarin is the head of an organization called Al-Haq, which gets a lot of money from a number of German organizations, also Medico International and EED. And they are leading what's called lawfare, going from court to court around the world and introducing claims that Israelis are guilty of war crimes. And in place after place there, or they're trying to get headlines so that if an Israeli like Tzipi Livni, the current justice minister, gets off a plane in London, that she'll be met by Scotland Yard and be questioned, and then that'll be in the newspapers, Israeli minister questioned for war crimes. That's Al-Haq's primary work. They have hundreds of cases around the world. They have a lot of money to do that. The head of that organization, Shawan Jabarin, is the first speaker, the main speaker. And he is also affiliated, reportedly, with the terrorist organization, the PFLP, Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine.
On the EU terrorist is the PFLP.
And Jordan has a policy of not allowing him in because of his terrorist connections. The Israeli courts have referred to him as a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, human rights activist by day, PFLP terrorist operative by night. He is one of the main speakers. Another speaker, these are activists, these are all people who have had many years of activism in the Durban framework. And these are the main speakers for this conference. Now there are two German professors that I don't know that have not been involved very much in Palestinian activism. Andreas Zimmermann, and there's another one. Do you have the program here?
Du hast den Ausdruck?
Okay, it's okay. It's easy. You can easily find this. And we've tried to ask them what their views are, and they haven't responded. But I think they're more for window dressing, a fig leaf, because they're not going to present the terrorist background to this separation barrier and how many thousands of lives it saved, and how there are very strong legal opinions, including the Israeli Supreme Court, that it is an important and legitimate construction under the circumstances. Because human rights for Israelis are never taken into consideration by any of these groups in any of these processes. None of these groups have condemned the kidnapping of three Israeli boys. If you're a human rights group, why aren't you active in these issues? Why is this your agenda? And Israelis look at this, and it makes Israeli willingness to make compromises and take risks for peace or to listen to European criticism much more unlikely. Can you? I'll give you just a few more illustrations and then we can take questions. The European Union recently imposed guidelines on Israel European funding so that none of the money would be spent outside of the Green Line. And we can debate the issue of the Green Line, but this was a result of an NGO campaign called Trading Away Peace. Medico International is one of the 22 NGOs that promoted this political agenda. We're going to go a little bit faster now. Breaking the Silence is an Israeli organization, bless you, of a very few number of very radical Israelis who are going around the world, not in Israel, but around the world, condemning, saying the Israeli army commits war crimes, exactly the Durban agenda. And as I said, they were here in Berlin under the sponsorship of the Willy Brandt Center. They claim to have convinced that their goal is to make Israelis more sensitive to the occupation, which is an entirely legitimate goal. But when they travel around the world, which is 90% of what they do, again, we're talking about a handful of people with hundreds of thousands of euros going around the world. They go to every U.S. and every European campus. And as I said, they've been in Berlin, and do they do these photo exhibitions here? They had one in Sweden, which only presents their version of the terrible things Israelis are doing. Israelis are always war criminals in these, and Palestinians are always innocent victims. There's no terrorism. You can always find in any society people on the fringes. Why are foreign governments and the German government empowering them to the degree where they change the entire perception of the Arab-Israeli conflict? And so just go back for 1 second. So their funding is, again, I'm not going to try the Catholic Misso Rio and Medico International. I talked about Al-Haq, the Sharon Jabarin organization, and they've been flooding not just the Israeli but other courts with petitions to try to obstruct the process. And these are their wanted criminals. Tzipi Livni, the head of the Israeli peace team in the government, who was the foreign minister under Olmert, and other Israeli figures. This is what they do with their money. And it's funded by Medico International. Why is a medical humanitarian aid organization, you see them in almost every one of these. Many of these organizations are funded by Medico International, Rosa Luxemburg, some Heinrich Bell, and the two church groups. And that raises real questions. There's another organization which is involved in a lot of friction, Comet ME, which is also getting money from this is direct money. The German representative office in Ramallah is what we call direct funding, but look how much money they're getting, again, from Medico International. Connection directly with Zohrot, this Comet ME organization that operates, and they are they're building illegal structures and then getting into confrontations with the Israeli army in what's called Area C. And if you have a lot of money, you can cause a lot of trouble. I think this is the last one I'm going to use as an illustration. The Ecumenical Accompaniment Program in Palestine and Israel, also supporting the BDS movement, the boycott movement, confronting Israeli soldiers, talking about Israel using the language of Durban, war crimes, right of return, apartheid, against Christian Zionist support for Israel. And they're a partner. We don't know. This is one of those areas which we'd like to get the information. Does Brit for the World fund them? Because they're listed as a partner under Brit for the Welt. I talked about water. This is the EWASH campaign that Israel is guilty of water theft, and they're calling for boycott of the Israeli water company. All the information that's available, and there's lots of it, says that Israel is giving the Palestinians more than what was agreed to in the Oslo process. There's no theft of water. When there's a drought, everybody suffers from the drought. They're calling for boycotts, reconsider economic ties. This is where the president of the EU, Mr. Scholz, got his information or his rumors. I think it should be Al-Haq, but EAPPI, which I just showed earlier, is one of the sources of that, which is a partner with Brit for the Welt. What are our recommendations? First of all, that there should be full transparency on funding of any German government money that goes to an Israeli and Palestinian NGO. That a humanitarian or human rights group, a group on the left, a liberal group, refuses to provide the information of where the public money goes is inconsistent with any democratic process. And many of the organizations refused or did not provide the information. We think there should be a joint German-Israeli committee to review these processes, to make recommendations. It should be looked certainly at in the level of the German, perhaps the Bundestag is a good place to do that. Where's our money going? Are we doing a lot of damage? As I'm claiming that it has never come up before, and it should be. Usually in these cases, what happens is that you have a ministry that gives, as we said, a budget of 150 or more million euros for humanitarian aid around the world. And they distribute, they have an office in Africa, they give money to very serious African areas of that need support, humanitarian assistance, development in Asia, in South America, in the Middle East. And in the Middle East branch, then they have different country desks. And somewhere 34 levels down, there's a Palestinian desk officer. So nobody at the top knows what's going on at the bottom. There are no detailed reports. And that allows the person, the group or the individual at the low level to give the money out? Is he giving it or she giving it to their friends? On what basis are the decisions made? Are there any public records? We have not, we've asked and been told, received negative responses from both the European Union and the British government on freedom of information. This is top secret. There are commercial interests involved. There's public security, but no logic in this whatsoever. They're afraid of getting these documents out. I think this is something that Germany should not even get to that stage of freedom of information. Should be discussions. Where's our money? Why is this money going to these type of activities which are so biased and so harmful to the peace process? And on that basis, to create some guidelines so that an NGO that receives federal German taxpayer money needs to be examined publicly in terms of those guidelines. I think we're close to the end. This is our website. We are transparent on everything, whether where funding comes from, what we do, and you're all invited to all our, we update it just about every day. And Germany is, if you look in the middle there, it says NGO funders, and there's government funders, and there's Germany, along with the rest of the European countries that we've examined. We also have a list of 150 different organizations that we monitor, and I'd be happy to take any questions that you have. About, it'll tell you, we have a, we raise funds in the United States, a little bit from Israel, I think Australia changes a little bit, mostly from Jewish and pro-Israel private donors. We have no government money. That leaves us free to criticize governments. We actually are a non-governmental organization. All the others are what are called gongos or fongos that are foreign, or is it also, the quangos are quasi-autonomous or government-funded NGOs. We're not. We're strictly private.